praise God, man. The opportunity to pray for the sick and set people free from that merciless torment of the devil. A lot of tormented people all around us. Who's going to go? Who's going to go? Praise God. All right. So while you're trembling, thinking, oh gosh, he's going to start sending us out to go pray for folk, let me give you a little bit of encouragement, okay? There are three things in this passage I think will be an encouragement to you. And I think will allow you, enable you to see God do mighty things in other people's lives when you pray for them. Number one, submission to God. If you want to pray effectively for people, I know we're paralyzed because we think, well, what if nothing happens? What if something does happen? How can we increase the odds that something will happen? How can we really go with confidence that God is really going to do something? If I'm sitting there in that restaurant and the person next to me, I can tell they're just, man. And I strike up a conversation for them and they spill their life story all over the table. I'm sitting, wow, that was more than I really needed to know. But, hey, brother, can I pray for you? Sister, can I pray for you? Can I just take a moment? How can I have confidence that some incredible thing could happen in their life when I pray for them? Number one, submission to God. Who sent Jesus into the world? Huh? God, the Father. Did Jesus obey when he was sent? Yes. God sent his Son into the world. Jesus said yes. Absolutely. He submitted because he was surrendered to the will of the Father. He was surrendered to the will of God. There is power in surrender. I know, guys especially don't like to think about that. We like power and victory, man. We want to kick some serious butt. We want to grind the enemy into the dust and spit on his ashes. We want to rip their heads off and just, all right. But there is power in surrender. When we are surrendered to God, it means we can get out of the way and allow Him to come through with all of His power and strength and glory and might. We try to do it in our own strength. We try to live our life by our own decisions, our own wisdom. We do nothing but fall on our face. But when we are surrendered to God, God can use us mightily, especially if we are going after the enemy, especially if we're going to do battle with the prince of rebellion himself. We need to be surrendered to God. The Bible says, James 4:7 says, therefore, submit to God. Then what? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You guys want the enemy to flee from you? Praise God. What's the first requirement? Submit to God. If our lives are in rebellion against God, we're not going to see His power displayed. God wants to fill our lives with power. He wants to show us great and mighty things we never dreamed of. But He won't do it if we're in rebellion. If we are setting our face against the flint and doing our way instead of His way, we're not going to see that glory manifest in our life. We're going to see dysfunction, pain, confusion, anxiety, and addiction. But when we surrender to God. Now, when I'm talking about rebellion, I'm also talking about the people that God places in your life. You might say, well, I'm not really in rebellion against God. I'm just rebelling against my idiot boss because he's such a moron. Heck no, I'm not going to do it. God says submit, surrender to those who are over you and allow my grace to make up the difference. So am I in rebellion against God? Let me take that further. Am I in rebellion against my boss? Am I in rebellion against my spouse? Am I in rebellion against my parents? Am I in rebellion against the law? If I am walking in rebellion, I can't be walking in the power and the authority of God. I'm walking in the realm of the prince of rebellion. I'm coming under His domain, not the domain of God. Even Christ submitted to the Father. Even Christ submitted to the government when the government says, we're going to kill you. He said, okay. He could have busted that cross into splinters. He spoke into existence the tree they made the cross from. He wasn't up there against His will. He surrendered because he knew God was going to use that to save mankind. He could have spoke a word and decimated Rome. There would have been Jerusalem. There would have been a mushroom cloud over the thing. And he came walking out of that unscathed if that's what he wanted. But even Jesus surrendered in the Garden of Gethsemane. He sweated drops of blood and said, Father, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. So the first thing to have power is to be in submission to God. Adrian Rogers said this, let this burn into your soul. You cannot be over the things God wants you to be over until you are under those things that he has set over you. Thank you, I will. As a matter of fact, I love it. I love that much better than... You cannot be over those things. You cannot be over those things that God wants you to be over until you are under those things that he has set over you. To walk in God's authority, you must be a man under authority. I want to walk in the authority of God. I want to command things to depart out of people and see them things go. I want to speak a word and see a person healed of Crohn's disease or cancer or tuberculosis or any other affliction they might be dealing with. I want to see chains broken off of people's souls. I want to speak and minister in the power and authority of God, but I cannot do it unless I am first a man under authority. Praise God. Is that challenging anybody yet? All right. By the way, this verse, submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee from you. This comes right after the verse that the youth group studied this week. You guys remember that? You were there playing guitar, singing and stuff. This verse comes right after that passage that says, if you are a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. You're an adulterer and an adulteress if you're a friend of the world rather than a lover of God. So submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Okay, that's number one, submission to God. Number two, if you want the power, what did God give Jesus so that he could go about doing good and heal people who are oppressed by the devil? God did what with Jesus? Say it out loud. What? I can't hear you. He anointed him with the Holy Spirit and what? Power. That's not just some, you know, metaphorical word. That's real stuff, man. I want the stuff. God gives his children power. It is the gift of the Father, the Holy Spirit. So much of Christianity today is powerless. It's pathetic. It's crawling around trying to do things in its own strength instead of being endued with power from on high. Anointing. So number one, submission to God. Number two is anointing. Jesus was anointed with the Holy Ghost and power. Now, are Christians anointed with the Holy Spirit? Yes. Yeah, to some degree. If you are born again, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. Now, if you want more power, if you want the faucet wide open, then I would suggest getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. Or, you know, if some don't like that label, be filled with the Holy Spirit. God is not concerned with labels. God wants power. He has power for us. I want to be saturated. I want to be drenched, dripping with the power of the Holy Spirit, immersed and baptized in that holy glory. Praise God. Last week, after church, after that beautiful thing you guys did for me, we ate a few things in there, and then we went over to Matt and Laura's house for dinner. Actually, we went out for dinner, and then we came back for coffee afterwards. Such a cool time. They had a friend visiting from Boston, a girl named Janelle, who was a missionary. And she wanted to meet me. They told her about me and me about her. And so we met over at their house, and I met this girl. She's a missionary. Amazingly, she was at the same conference I was at. Only we didn't know each other yet. So we might have been standing there next to each other, you know, just like, I love you, God, and people falling all around and stuff. Might have been right there with her. Had no clue, no idea. So I met her. She's like, you went to the conference, so did I. Wow, blah, blah, blah. And she starts talking about these missions trips that she's gone on. She went to India and Ethiopia. And she talked about this one experience she had when she was in India. Now, in India, that place is eaten up with idolatry. You know, we talk about idolatry, you know, very philosophically. Well, you know, his stereo system is his idol. He spends too much time in front of the TV. These people have idols, man. I mean, they carve them out, put faces on them, and they worship these idols, okay? Eaten up with the place. And there's all kinds of demonic power going on in India. You want to see some hair-raising stuff, go on some of these mission trips with this girl down into the unreached people groups in India, man. It will blow your mind. She said, okay, so their mission was to plant 5 churches in 5 days. They go in a village, they share the gospel. Those who believe are hooked up with a discipler from their organization. He establishes a church there. The next day, they move on to another village. Win some souls to Christ, establish a church there, and in 5 days, they fell short of one. In 5 days, they planted 4 churches. Man, that rocks. Yes, ma'am. And so, they're out there doing this. In this one village, there was this old lady, and she was told in her training, you know, if there's an elderly woman, a matriarch in the village, keep an eye on her, focus on her, and really devote time to her, because she has the power, not only the influence to sway the village, but she has the power generally in those places to bless or to curse people at her will. Because most of those matriarchs are so involved and so engrossed in this occultism and darkness that's going on over there that some hair-raising stuff happens. So she's sitting here and she's talking to this elderly woman in the village, sharing the gospel, and they go through their presentation. And the woman's like, well, I'm going to think about this, you know, maybe come back some other time. And so as Janelle is getting ready to go, she's getting on the bus and everything, her ankle feels a little weird. And they start heading down the road, and it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Before long, her foot is swollen up to the size of a watermelon. I mean, this thing is just like massive. This thing is all over her leg. And she's like, what in the world is going on? Pain shooting through her ankle. She can't put any weight on the thing. So they take her to a place where they can start working on this, try to get some treatment, try to get a doctor in to work on this. And while she's sitting there in pain, she says, this is like hours later, all of a sudden she feels this like thing like brushed by her, just, you know, her hair, and just almost like wind or something, but weird, just different. And as it did that and kind of brushed by her, all of a sudden she became deathly ill in her stomach. And she's like, Wait a minute. I mean, like, you know, guts just wrenching. And she said, the light goes on. She says, this is a spiritual attack. This is a demonic attack. And she rebuked that thing in the name of Jesus. And do you know when she did that? When she stood her ground and she said, I rebuke you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Get out of here. That thing left her like that. Ooh. Ankle started going down. She had to walk with a crutch for a couple days. She actually decided to go back to that village. The team wasn't going to go back there, but she says, I've got to go back and talk to that woman. And do you know, I wasn't going to tell this part, it suddenly came to my mind. Do you know when she went back to that village, walking on that crutch, and the people saw her, they were floored. They were like, oh my goodness. Powerful. Powerful and led people to Christ, man. But I tell you what, if you're going to go out here against the enemy, you're going out against the power. He has no authority over you, but he has power. And you need to meet power with power. That's why God gave it to us. That's why he gave it to us. That's what Pentecost was all about. Have you been filled with the power of God? You know, when Jesus got, right before he sent his disciples out, right as before he ascended up to the throne of God, he said, look, in Luke 24:49, he says, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, talking about the Holy Spirit. He says, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued, why does this stuff come in my mind? Until you are endued with power from on high. Now that word endued is a very interesting word. I'm not going to give you the Greek word for it, but literally if you go in the lexicon, it means to clothe with. Everybody say to clothe with. To clothe with. If you look at that word in the Greek, using Englishman's Concordance, you go through the New Testament, you'll find that it referred to John the Baptist being clothed with camel's hair. A garment of camel's hair. It talked about the wedding guest being clothed with the wedding garment. It talks about in Romans where it says, put on Christ, meaning the qualities of Christ. When Herod was standing there giving a speech dressed in royal apparel, same word, he was endued or clothed upon with royal apparel. In Ephesians where it says, put on the whole armor of God, same word. Put on that thing. And so when he's talking about you're going to be endued with power from on high, he's talking about being literally clothed, wrapped with the power of God. There's a power that the indwelling Holy Spirit gives us to be sanctified and live a Christian life, but there is dunamis, supernatural power that we can be clothed upon through the filling and baptism of the Holy Spirit. God wants us to be clothed with power. Have you had a power encounter with God? If not, are you seeking that? There is mighty power to be had. And God invites us. He sets a feast before us, invites us to seek that.